NFL.
What is up, Bay Area? This is Jasmine Muse, and you are tuned in to Secret Muse Headquarters. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and we have a really great, exciting show for tonight. I am not by myself. We have some amazing guests in the studio, and I don't want to hog the mic. Let's go ahead and get introductions started. Who are y'all? We'll start with you, Dion.
My name is Derwin Dion Brown II, and I am the creative founder of Black American Sound System. I'm a singer, songwriter, and composer, and very happy to be here.
Amazing, amazing. And then Kai.
I'm Kai. I'm a creative director, event curator, and archivist, and I've been working with the BASE team, and it's been awesome.
Amazing, amazing. And then Samira.
Hi, I'm a multidisciplinary creative, photographer, videographer, music lover, enthusiast, and also part of the BASE team, and additionally also happy to be here, so yeah.
Amazing, amazing. Well, like I said, I am Jazza Muse, and you are tuned into the Secret Muse Headquarters, your destination for Afrocentric music from the Bay, from California, from all around. Tonight, we have some great music in store, some great conversation, and like I said, we'll be sitting down with Dion Brown and Black American Sound System to see what they're all about, and let's get started with the music. I'll talk to you all in a minute.
Thank you.
No more sickness. No more trials. No more heartbreak. No more separation in our families. No more doctor's appointments. No more funeral homes. No more hearse wheels. No more hospitals. No more graves. Because that place.
Generic zombie chasing a carrot, a ferret on solid ground. Remembers a hound dog, don't bark at the sun. This is a dog eat dog world, she got family to hunt. It's that time of the month. Blunt bitches and booze, I can smoke on a good mood. You can squabble in the comments, bitch, you are a comet. Orb around me, let my sunshine on your third degree to burn sting. Don't say I ain't warn you, nigga. I'm sending little books to little bears. Money on the commissaire, solitaire, mimicking a home. The phone is a shotgun, the mailbox a possum. My letters play dead as they watch from the stockroom. What's a costume party with no kids? A bundle of nightsticks, a huddle of grown men. Chest heaving, breathing like they got. Slow, demented, no incentive to ask pretense. So, so tempting to add sentence to sentence. This verse could wrong one, 3/5 a human. New cats that did tend too black to not fend for their life. Tightrope the matrix till we die. This guy says I'm still alive. This guy says I'm still alive. This this guy says we're still alive.
First, I stayed on the island for like a few months, blah, 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 processing. Went to the box. I love the box. The box. I love the box on the island. I had to deal with none of them fake niggas. Everybody locked up with was a gangster. And they was getting it. Everybody innocent. How you be getting it and innocent at the same time?
Sitting in my dream state.
All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Secret Muse Headquarters. I am Jazz, and I am your host for tonight. Those were some amazing songs, starting with Dion Brown's Ecstasy. We had some Tempest in there with Amindi, and some just amazing music. Dinya, LA native, I really love her music right now. Speaking of LA natives, we have some LA natives in the house, so I'm gonna turn over the mic real quick. Dion, can you tell us more about who you are and what and who Black American Sound System is? Maybe introduce your team and we can dig a little deeper.
Yeah. Okay, so my name is Jermaine Dion Brown II. I go by Dion Brown, and I am a sound architect. I am a artist, I'm a singer, I'm a songwriter, I'm a composer. But most importantly, I'm obedient to my purpose. I'm a student at this stuff. So I love to learn. I'm a student first. So that's how I dove into the world of music and sound and sound systems and things of that sort. It was founded in 2024 with me just making some speakers for the Black Burner Project, as well as some raves in the Bay Area. And now I have a lovely team supporting me. They're all so cool. I'm gonna have to introduce
them. You're so cool.
We always do this thing.
Yes.
But yeah, I wanna have them introduce them. Well, they already introduced themselves, but I do wanna say before I say that I've just been so grateful to have such a dope group of individuals around me, you know, because especially in the Bay Area with everything going on. It's hard to find community sometimes, and so it feels nice to have that. So I'm so grateful to them and everything that y'all do. Yeah, it's so cool.
I absolutely love that. And a little secret we have, Secret Muse Headquarters, I am also part of that team, and yeah. I've had an amazing experience just being able to meet them and, you know, be involved and assist in the way that I can. And we'll dive into more how I've been assisting, where I've been assisting, mm-hmm. where y'all can see this assisting that's been going down. Mm-hmm. But that being said, yeah, I want to dive into more about all of you. More specifically, I want to dive into the question, when and how did sound become a cultural practice or tool for you? And I want to pose this question to you, Dion, and everyone in the room as well.
Yeah. Sound as a cultural practice, I think when I finished school, going to SF State and going to all those classes, I think that's mm-hmm. when I was like, okay, like, what I'm doing wasn't always seen as something as high art, to the level of high art or education. And so when we're all having these shared Black experiences of being at the house listening to, like, old radio stations or dealing with the old unks and stuff,
it's like, unks, yeah.
Like, this is, like, an experience we all share. And it's also, like, it's cultural. So why not make it a canon? So, I've been really grateful to just bring something that I feel is so common,
yeah.
to, like, at least within the Black experience, to the world in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much look up to Prince.
So, yes.
I growing up in church, I was taught to play every instrument, and so
that part, yeah.
Once I did that, I was like, okay, like the only other instrument that I am still learning to play and I like to learn is, you know, building speakers. So.
You were checking it off the box. You were like, I got to.
I'm still working on guitar and stuff.
Okay.
A little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
It's been cool.
I absolutely love that. And I think I resonate with what you said. Like, a lot of Black people have this foundational music in the church. Mm-hmm. And it kind of expanded through artists like Prince or people that we looked up to who also found, you know, their foundations in the church. So Black culture goes really deep. And I just feel like, I don't know, it's like a tree. You see all the roots. And although we're far away and we meet each other randomly, like, we're all connected.
We're all connected.
Amazing, amazing. And then, yeah, Kai, Samira, I want to know more about how sound has been a cultural practice or tool for you guys mm-hmm. as well.
I would agree, having grown up in the church, it's always been a part of me. It's always been integrated in my life. And growing up, my granddad was in a band, so he played the bass guitar. And having this sort of hyper-focus on bass lines very young taught me a lot about music. It taught me more to listen to the music versus listen to the lyrics. And
growing up like that and having peers and stuff and like everybody's liking the trendy music and everything for what it's saying, I'm just like listening to the production, I'm listening to the instruments, and you know, in church they use instruments as well, and your voice is an instrument, so being really tight on instrumental, and growing up I played instruments, so all that was very, very, very deep in my life for a very long time, and I feel like it's always been a part of me.
That's beautiful.
No, yeah, I love that, and I love how you brought up your grandpa being in the band. It's so generational, and we shout out the Unks for real, the Gramps. They really been holding it down for us. They have. And then Samir, tell us more about how sound has been a cultural practice for you as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I feel like what everyone's saying, growing up, I feel like you either are around music or have musical family members or you find it yourself. For me, I feel like culturally, my mom and my dad introduced me to different styles of music and like the importance of music in like ritual and gatherings, and that really kind of stuck with me. And I feel like from there, I kind of started listening to music more so as a learner of like the types of music that there can be, the different types of like genres and things like that. And I also, and I also think that it's really interesting how there's two types of ways that you can listen to music. You can listen with a certain part of your brain that engages like the rhythmic and like the BPM and things like that. And then you could also just like listen to it straight up. Some people have the ability to kind of like sense the production more than others. And I feel like because of like my early introduction to music, I'm really like more so into like the beats and like the beat layering and what that can bring. So yeah.
No, yeah, I agree. And I love how like a theme that's kind of commonly occurring is focusing on the music. Like, obviously we love the lyrics, we have favorite songs that really resonate with us, but also the music really resonates with us, and like that BPM, that sound, and it carries along generations. So that's really great. Before we head on to maybe another music break, I want to point this question at you, Dion.
Okay.
Because when I began to speak to you and learn more about your story, I just saw so many similarities. You know, growing up in Southern California, having that Texas background, I want to know what it's like being a Southern California, LA-born cowboy living in the Bay. How do all those cultures kind of connect and culminate for you?
I'm like, is now a good time to say it? That I should probably say that. No, it's perfectly now. I can say now that I recently just been accepted as an Oakland Cowboy officially. So that's really cool. But to be honest, it's still a culture shock sometimes. You know, I've been out in Oakland for like 8 years, right? So I give Oakland, you know, and I know the 415, 10, all that. And I'd be at Lake Merritt, I'd be off of International, like, you know, I'm out here. But it's taken some time because also being raised in the South, you're raised much different, you know, other than being raised in the church, you know, you interact with the world differently, you eat different things. And so bringing that to the Bay, that hospitality has been applied differently. But the great thing about, like, you know, history is that it repeats itself. And so we're seeing the same type of movement from the South to the West Coast with the Great Migration. Mm-hmm. And I think that shit is so cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because people are talking about leaving. We were just talking about, like, leaving the Bay Area for another Great Migration, yeah. Okay? With everything going on, even the drone strikes and everything, like, and once that's done, like, yeah, we're definitely moving. Other than that, I really ride for Oakland, and especially the way that Oakland has rode for me, and the way that I was raised and I was taught about this culture, and I know locals, and I've been integrated to that family. It's an honor. So it's been great. And you find parts of the South there. So, of course, riding horses. I love the barbecue, you know, the spots and the chefs and things with the black gloves, you know. But, yeah, I love all that stuff. So I'm really enjoying my time as a Southern L.A. boy in the Bay Area, right?
I love that. I love that. And I think it's super cool how you said there's a lot of intersectionality between Oakland culture and Southern culture. Yeah. To me, it's almost like the South meets maybe New York or like Brooklyn. I don't know. Yeah. Sorry, Oakland. I don't know if like associating you with other cities is like something to do. But, right, it's a crime. Y'all going to come for me. But I love y'all. I love Oakland. I know, for real. They're coming for me. Like the mayor, it's okay. Everything's fine. Right? No, literally. That being said, I want to point one more question to you all before we head out to put some more music. How has ancestral connection guided the building of your sound systems themselves, maybe your curation styles, however y'all express your art through Black American sound system? How do you feel like you're pulling from ancestral connections?
Yeah. Well, it all started in therapy. Well, not really. I'm a Sag, double Sag Scorpio moon. So it's needed. But I have learned that, when I was at my lowest, like mental health wise, you know, I had these degrees, I got from SF State, but I didn't have a job, and I was just kind of doing all this stuff and maybe doing some band things. I was really trying to figure out what I was going to do. And after a while, I just like, I was still developing my relationship with spirituality and the universe and God. And after a while, I was just like, okay, well, tell me what to do.
And just put it guide me, like,
put it in
real,
my face. You know, I'm lying, you know, so like, make it obvious, bro, like, for real. If it's not, like, it's through. And it happened. And
that's
so
beautiful.
You know, I didn't have a previous background in design or construction. I just, I always sat next to my grandpa. Like, he taught me in queerness and things of that sort, and, well, masculinity rather, that I just, as a man, I needed to learn how to build it, anything.
That's real, yeah.
Fix anything. And so those skills translate into like me eyeing a piece of wood and be like, oh shit, I think I can do that.
That's
shit.
It's a speaker, yeah.
And
I love
think,
that.
I'm like, oh, that could be fly. Like, I just texted him today. He was like, yeah, you can do anything.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's the sweetest. But yeah, that my ancestors kind of guide me in that way. I just made myself an antenna for it and just, you know, kind of set up this space and just
be open.
And that's what grace is, making yourself available to like what is being sent to you. And once it's sent to you, it's just like,
receive it, act upon it. That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that, Dion. I really appreciate that, and I really feel like I resonate with that whole part about just how it's like an antenna, you know, you're receiving it. I spoke about this in my last show, but it's like I was saying, you're using it, but you're not really using it. It's almost something that's being constantly gifted to you. So that's one thing I really appreciate. Before we head into music break, Samir, Kai, do y'all have any, you know, commentary on this? How do y'all feel like ancestral connection has been expressed through your art?
I feel like when it comes to like lineage, I'm kind of like a nerd on trying to learn more about like the struggles and the triumphs and like the migration and why and how and like all these things that have deeply affected me and like my place and like where I am and like the fortunates that I have. I feel like being queer, being Black, and being like Pakistani is kind of like a weird like intersection, like cross section of different, a lot of different roads that just kind of had me like always searching for like the meaning within like the things that I do, my art practices. And like Dion had said, like sometimes when you are looking and you're searching and you feel like you're hitting walls and walls and the doors are closed, at that time you're gonna like get something handed to you and you're gonna have to say, what am I gonna do with this? Am I gonna keep trying to ignore this and keep trying to like kind of like curve off the path that's already been made for me? Am I gonna go on the path? And I feel like when you kind of tap into like your cultural identity and kind of like honor it, that's when, you know, the best type of art is made. Of course.
I love that.
No, and I really resonate with the part where you were like answering that call. You know, I feel like a lot of us sometimes you're intimidated by that call, but like, you know, really following into it, it's really great, really great. What about you, Kai?
My ancestry is absolutely sound. My family owning a church, before they came to California. It's always been in the music. Everybody in my family sings, everybody in my family dances, everybody in my family has played an instrument. And, you know, having a literal church in your family, like the church is about a part of the family, you know? It's, you go to events all the time, you upkeep the church, you're, my granddad's a pastor, my uncle's a pastor, my cousin's a pastor, and we're all kind of uplifting that. That's what it's been forever, for as long as I've known, as long as I've been alive. And I could go back and look at the VHS tapes of my mom and auntie up there on the podium singing, but, you know, that's a podium that we built. That's a sound system that we put into the church that my uncles installed with their hands, and they're over the sound every Sunday, every dance practice that we had to go to. My uncles had to show up, get the sound system hooked up. So this is absolutely my lineage. And I feel like I'm honoring that in the right ways, listening to the music, reminiscing on those times, going back through physical archives, because physical media is very important.
It is,
going back through DVDs and VHS tapes I have, just of me in the church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that being such a huge part of my upbringing, I feel like it was undeniable that that was kind of what would encompass me in my adulthood. So
it all made sense. It just, I love that. And I relate to you on that. Like, my grandmother started a church in Texas, and like my granddad was a pastor, and like I never really thought of it as like the family actually building everything in there, but it's almost like a museum of our faith and our perseverance, especially because the Black church is such a specific, unique community. Like, you know, we have our issues, but we also have, we stand out among the crowd when it comes to different churches in America. So thank you for sharing that experience. I think that's super cool. And we talked about archiving physical media, which I want to get more into later and see where you guys can see some awesome archives that Black American Sound System has put together for y'all. But until we get to that point, you have to stay listening. We have some great music. Do not turn off that radio and stay tuned. We will talk to you later.
half awake, half asleep. Feel it when I write, when I read. What's the lead? Eyes wide open, I never miss a dream. A dream never misses, now they listen to the streams. The tears that I hide, still filling up with steam. Hot head, but they're never gonna see it. Cause I'ma hit them like eclipses out in London. I swear they never see it. Cause my heat is like a dungeon. My life a museum. Thank you.
All right, y'all, welcome back to the Secret Muse headquarters. This is your host, Jazz the Muse. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. We are having such a great time here in San Francisco. It is such a lovely night. It's a busy night. There's a lot of good things going on in the city tonight. If you're not busy, go out and do something. You know, go touch some grass or go touch a glass of wine. Anyways, that was just off the dome. Okay. No. Anyways. No, literally. Bar part time. Like, okay, hello. Anyways, we're going to dive into a few more questions with Black American Sound System. And yeah, we're going to close out the night with a great, great conversation. So I want to dive more into what Black American Sound System has going on right now. I've been hinting at the fact that there may be some archiving that people can see, something going on in Oakland. So tell me, Dion, what is a Black American Sound System doing right now, and where can people go get involved and witness this experience?
Yes, so currently we have an exhibition. It's the debut exhibition at the Oakland Public Library main branch. It is called Soul, Sonics, and Sound Systems. It's an archival display of some really great concert ephemera, as well as newsletters, newspapers, vinyls, CDs, you name it, books. And then we have the Cornbread Listening Room featuring the Tower Stacks, Cornbread Stacks, and the Cornbread Sound System all together. It's a four-point system. We made it look like grandma's room, house, particularly living room, to get that nostalgic vibe. Yes, and, you know, this was a vision that I had in my mind, but of course I couldn't have executed without my team. I had Samir documenting the entire thing as a brilliant archivist. Had Kai and you, of course, who was a part of the team, honing on those skills and curatorial skills as well. So it's been really nice to bring all of that together. And yes, and there's programming over the next 3 months. It ends April 26th. Yes, and we have some listening events and some great DJs and curators, including people on the team who's going to be sharing music. That's going to be dope. And most importantly, we have the main programming. So we have the Sonic Flow Yoga on March 26th with Black to Yoga. Yes, I'll be doing a sound bath. It's free yoga practice for anyone who wants to enjoy and really just kind of unwind, especially with all the shit going on right now. And then we have the closing ceremony, and we have a few tricks up our sleeves. That's the Spring Fling. It's going to be great. We're planning to have a car show to celebrate the car audio. Yes, it's going to be great. Real Oakland shit, and that'll be starting at 12 p.m. on April 26th at the Oakland Library Main. The speakers are going to be outside. It's going to be a nice market. It's going to be a nice old school Sunday. So it's going to be flying. You might, you know, get you a nice cup of something and dance. It's going to be cool. Yeah.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. Yeah. So as Dion said, you can experience the Black American Sound System's exhibition, Cornbread Systems, Soul, Sonics, and Sound Systems. Amazing. It is live at the Oakland Public Library. I have seen it myself. I have been there. Like Dion said, I'm part of the team. Amazing curational team, and I'm glad I've got to be involved and learn so much. Like, I'm telling you, if you think you know soul music, go to that exhibition and no, you don't know soul music, and you'll learn so much about not only the history of Black history, but music history, which is obviously the same as Black history. But that being said, I want to go more into the intentionality of this creation of yours, whether it's archiving, building, or contributions. What are some of the intentions that go into all of y'all's mission when it comes to Black American Sound Systems? And what are some things you want to see, some desired outcomes that you want to see from this exhibition?
Yeah, I'll speak a little bit, and then I'll have everyone else speak. Leading has been such an interesting art form and practice, especially when you want to lead with integrity and you want to also share your platform and know when to share the vision and to lead with that vision. It's been a true test for me and my character. And I think that's so important, especially when there's so much great talent on the team that I'm with and the vision that we have. I really try to be like, make sure everyone feels valued because, you know, there's... We've had a lot of shitty examples of leadership recently, whether that's at our job or in politics. So I'm just like, you know, I really want to uplift people and make people feel valued and respected in workspaces and do good work with integrity. So that's been cool. And then also like building it itself, there's quite a bit of math involved. And as someone who really had a hard time in math growing up and then figuring out in college, shout out to my math professor, I've been able to figure things out pretty quickly. So it's really taking a scientific approach with it, testing design and being intentional about it as we go. So, but yeah, that's my leadership.
Yeah, I really love that, and I really want to touch more back. You were talking about the scientific mathematic part of it. One thing I want to talk more about is how a lot of this, we are in the tech capital of the world, and we see a lot of dark stuff that comes from the tech capital of the world. So we'll touch more on how this is something that's kind of light and human that's coming out of the tech sphere. But Kai, yes, I will, if you could touch on this, we'll pass the mic to you.
I'd say... I really enjoy our team because I feel like we all have a good sense of what this means to us on our own. It doesn't all mean the same thing for all of us. Everybody's contributing from their personal selves, from their hearts, whilst doing things alongside. And, you know, we're keeping each other in the loop. We're doing things like this together to contribute to each other's ecosystem. And I feel like that's beautiful. That's really important to do on a team. And I feel like I'm most excited for expansion because with the eyes that we have on us currently, they could also see that we're doing it for the right reasons and they're contributing and they're supporting us. And I just want more eyes. I want more people to understand why these things are important to our communities, to communities big and small, you know. While this is a project focused on the Bay Area, it's so much more than that. And being on this team for the time that we have, like, it's changed a lot for me already. Just seeing what we've done, what we've accomplished in such a small amount of time, and in supporting each other, it's been really, really, really important. So I'm I'm excited to see what more we can do together and, you know, collectively.
Yes, I love that, and I really appreciate that. I feel like I also have grown. I've learned so much from each and every one of you and the different pieces you have to offer, and of course Dion. Like, shout out Dion. Thanks for, you know, creating opportunity and for our community and for Black community, and thank y'all for participating in it. It's just like a really beautiful ecosystem that I see forming, and I'm like, I'm so appreciative and happy to be a part of it. But yes, let's pass the mic back over to Samira. I want to know your opinion.
Just as everyone else had said, like, I'm very grateful to be able to be in a room with like-minded people and individuals that kind of are bringing intentionality to the project and the kind of community like gathering behind it. I feel like it's really important that we all, even though we're all coming from different angles, that we all are keeping in mind the reason that we're doing it. And I just like to say, yeah, shout out Dion for curating such an awesome team. And yeah, I'm just happy to keep growing, keep learning, keep like bonding and learning off each other, learning different skills and things like that. But yeah.
Beautiful. Amazing. No, yeah, it's a really awesome team. Super happy, super excited for the current and the future. A couple more things I want to talk about. I know we're wrapping up soon, but I want to talk more about Black American sound system as the system itself. I had a little question. I don't know. This is kind of something random that came to mind, Dion, but I was wondering if someone from 100 years in the future discovered a Black American sound system, like the physical piece or like some kind of curation, you know, it's just there. What would they learn about the music or culture of today?
And it's so funny that you asked this question because I think it ties back to your comment about technology and yes. Black people and the role of AI and physical media and all of that. I think what I would leave, and this is this, you know, the same answer applies to both. It's the idea that Black people, not only do we, there's value in our sound, and not only is our sound an expression of freedom, but we also own the instruments that produce them, including our bodies, including our masters, including our sound and our genre and the speakers that come from them, owning the entire experience. And, you know, I just found it to be so similar in ways of repression in general and slavery in general. There is this this white entity that is taking over, or this main hierarchical entity or rich entity that is oppressing in order to sustain that that place. And so we see that across that industry. And it, and when you think about the history of sound systems, it's based in Jamaica and segregation. And so when you look at the sound industry, it doesn't reflect that identity and that history. So this is a reclamation of that. And even in the marrying of technology and AI and all of that, it's quite interesting because the environmental factors are ridiculous.
Especially
but
in black communities.
Exactly. And the way that I consider technology, especially as someone who creates spiritual technology, is thinking about the intention of using it. Very much like guns, it's how you use it. What are you using it for? What are the ways that you're using it? And technology and AI are similar. You know, how is it that AI can come up with these type of war schemes, but it can't come up with a way to create a sustainable technology or artificial intelligence that's sustainable, or it could solve world hunger or solve this peace? Like, so why not use technology for something that's positive, that can uplift our community? So that's what I've been working on. And I've been using sound and technology to really put on, you know, we're a part. I chose the T because I recognized that the Bay Area is a part of this black renaissance of sound that has been happening, whether it's through vinyl or through DJ or through, like, we all produce some type of sound in some type of way. And so even as a music artist, I stepped away from trying to look for success through labels and through going through that traditional route. And I was like, I'm going to build my own stage. I'm going to build my own speaker system. I'm going to tour these libraries, and I'm going to put my people on that I know, that I think and I respect and I love, and they're doing cool shit, you know? And that's the way we build. So it's been such a beautiful lesson, such a hefty responsibility, but it's what a time we're living in and what a responsibility we owe it to guide it with intention. Mm-hmm. So that's what I plan to do and expand more as we move forward with Bass. Yeah.
Yes.
That was such a beautiful answer, Dion. Thank you so much for that. And you can just feel your authenticity. I can have a hard time pronouncing that word, but authenticity through the mic and your passion behind it. And like you said, it's a lot of responsibility. Building community is not for the weak of heart, you know, especially black community, especially here in the Bay. So shout out Black American Sound System. Like we said before, go see the exhibition in Oakland Public Library. There's a lot of events you can like attend, listening sessions, including I'm having a listening session with some amazing black DJs, including Samira. Shout out Samira.
Yes.
Yes, Kai and Van. Yes, exactly. It takes the whole team, and we all are having listening sessions. We're all going to have some beautiful sounds coming through there. Before we head out, do you have any shout outs? Where can people find you? Where can people find Black American Sound System? Maybe on the internet?
Absolutely. My mixtape, Negro Nightmares, is on SoundCloud currently. As a cultural artifact, I'm bringing people back to SoundCloud. You know, I have music on Apple Music and Spotify, but when you think about supporting artists, my genre is very SoundCloud. So that's what I'm based out of. I'm an LA City kid. I have some music coming out as well, and another sound system. And we're going to continue on throughout the summer. It's going to be great. So check me out on Instagram at Dion Brown. So double D Brown, Dion Brown. I'm on Apple Music as Dion Brown, and then Black American Sound System on Instagram, and blackamericansoundsystem.org as the website. So yeah, check us out.
Check us out, check us out, check us out. Well, thank you all so much for joining us tonight. This was such an amazing conversation. As I say all the time, but I just feel so blessed and so honored to have amazing people in this studio with me. So thank you. It's going to go back and forth. It's like a ping pong. But I'm going to play a couple more songs. We got some Sally Mata. We got some John Glacier. And we're out. Y'all have a good night. Like I said, go touch some grass or go touch a glass or something. Yes, go get out there. Exactly. Yeah. Fill some bass. Go get some bass in your life. That being said, I will talk to y'all next month. Have a good night.
smell like 100 wishes, but I gotta do the dishes. Was never in the commitment. Tell me why, what is I missing? It's time to make me commission. Even though I like the way that he hit it, I gotta go. It's time for business. I'm on the road. You know it's lit, bitch. All of these flows, I'm moving with it. What is you telling me? What is you selling me? You ain't no friend of me. Nasty like celery. List the amenities. If I stay friends with he, I cannot list it. I cannot dig it. You do not fit in. You is a gimme. Now I am laughing cause you were so silly, silly. Wrap your willy, willy. Don't you give me hickey. I said no. What's the dilly, dilly? Want a cup of Philly, Philly? Stick it in my Cheerio. So I toss the doggy dog a bone. I am only here for microphone. Time to make my money, money long. Bring it back to mommy home. Saying shit right off the dome. You know, I can't control it. I'm on my own shit. My skin so golden. Cold when you frozen. I stand like pole. They leaving you snowden. Where is your boots? This is the truth. You got Sally Martha in the bull. Sally Martha in the bull. Sally Martha in the... I got like 100 wishes, but I gotta do the dishes. Was never in the commitment. Tell me why, what is our mission? It's time to make me commission. I got like 100 wishes, but I gotta do the dishes. Was never in the commitment. Tell me why, what is our mission? It's time to make me commission. It's time to make me commission.
Friendly fire.